Hi and welcome to the Homeopathy Health Show. I'm Atiq Ahmed Bhatti, a fourth generation homeopath with over 25 years of professional experience and practice in this field of healing. The Homeopathy Health Show is the online voice of homeopathy around the world, promoting and raising awareness of this truly unique system of healing, which is suitable for all ages, young and old. Every week, I invite guests from the world of homeopathy to come and share their experiences, their work, offer insights, and essentially talk all things homeopathy. Why not visit www.liketreatslike.co.uk and click on the radio and podcast button to listen to the latest episodes. So let's begin today's show here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. Hi, welcome to another episode of the Homeopathy Health Podcast here on the UK Health Radio Network. I do hope you're well and I hope you've had a pleasant week. Now my guests on today's episode are Drs. Bhavisha and Shachindra Joshi from Mumbai in India. They're also known as the Dynamic Duo. What a splendid tag indeed. Now both are MDs in homeopathic medicine and surgery, and both have developed a system within homeopathy called the MAP system, which empowers users to prescribe confidently using remedies from the plant, animal and mineral kingdoms, or from the grid of the periodic table itself. So without further ado, let's move to Drs. Bhavisha and Shachindra Joshi. Drs. Bhavisha and Dr. Shachindra, welcome to the Homeopathy Health Podcast here on UK Health Radio.
And we're very happy to be here.
You know, I'm thrilled that I'm joined today by the Dynamic Duo. And you may know, if you're my age, you'll certainly know, certainly from the West, that there was a show called Batman and Robin in the 1960s, right? And they were referred to as the Dynamic Duo. And I'm talking original Batman. I'm not talking about the reincarnations of. Although having said that, Christian Bale was really a fine Batman, I must say.
Oh, yeah, anyway, he was, wasn't he?
I digress. But yeah, so it's a name that sticks. And I have to say, with the work that you're doing, and we're going to find out more, of course, today, you indeed are dynamic.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
What's interesting is that you're based in Mumbai in India. Mm-hmm. And yeah, of course, that's where you're joining us from today. But the fact is that you're so very busy with your MAP system, which we're going to talk about in some detail today in the podcast. And you're busy with workshops and seminars, and of course you're seeing patients, and then there's books, and there's so much more. And this is not just local, it's all over the world. And that's also a real service to humanity, you know, and I must applaud you both for what you're doing, because for the listeners, and you know this, that I can always see the guests, but because it's an audio podcast, you'll be able to see the Dynamic Duo, of course, on my socials when I do the promos and the trailers, of course. But you both look very inspiring and very energized.
Thank you.
We've been in this for about 25 years now. I think next year, Shachindra and I celebrate our 25th wedding anniversary.
Wow, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Next and week, you said.
Next year.
Okay. All right.
Next year in April. Next year in April. And so that's 25 years of practicing homeopathy. And I think before that, in India, it's a very rigorous schedule. So 5 years of learning medicine and homeopathy. So it's a long 30 years, which have been very, very rewarding, I would say, for us. And we are blessed.
You know, that's a very important word that you just used, blessed, because, you know, when your heart and soul truly is in service, and I refer to homeopathy as a service to humanity, because that is what it is, right? We're serving humanity through homeopathy. There's many facets of service to humanity. But the blessings then do come, because if your heart is in the right place, then, you know, you get blessed with sometimes knowledge, sometimes creative skills, sometimes you just have certain qualities which can further help patients, and that is such a It's such a nice place to be in, isn't it? It's actually very humbling, I must say.
It is. So I always tell our students and assistant doctors is that when a patient comes to the clinic, it's easy to prescribe. But when with homeopathy, those little pills, we can help people realize and transform their lives. That is the Eureka and Aha moment we try to seek in every patient. And I always tell our assistants, try to help to the patient to that depth. Hmm. That is what our science enables us to. And that's beautiful.
You know, it's quite interesting when I speak to patients or when I do some of my socials. I'm going to hold this up for the listeners only. My apologies. But so I always use a bottle with globules. And I say, this is healthcare in a bottle. You know, that's the power of homeopathy, you know, because there's so much involved and there's so much that is possible. And the beauty of it is that it's so simple. A sweet globule or a lactose tablet or, okay, even drops in water, right?
Whatever.
But the form factor is so easy, isn't it? But it yet the results are incredible. They're life-changing.
It's so interesting. I mean, today Bhavish and I were talking about certain clients. There was a patient who was trying to seek her appointment for many days, maybe many months.
Months, yeah.
And we weren't able to schedule one for various reasons, yeah? And finally, she landed up in the clinic today. And she was so kind of worked up. And she said, do you know this person? I said, of course, she's a good friend, a good patient. Do you know this person? Yes, of course. That patient did very well. Do you know this girl? And we said, yes, that girl is very familiar. She's my daughter. She's doing very well. I have sent so many people to you and they are doing so well. And I just don't get the appointment because I want to come and see you to feel the change. So yeah. That's the way it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, respected doctors, I do want to talk to you about your journey because you have been in this field for, as you've mentioned, 20 plus years.
Yes.
So what was that? Was that something that you wanted to do as far as homeopathy? Was that something that interested you? Do you have a family background in homeopathy? Or was it just a moment where you thought, well, this is the field for us?
So, of course, both of us met in the homeopathic college. So we both have our individual histories. And I'll tell you mine. I always wanted to be a dancer or something with art. But my father was, you know, insistent that I go with sciences also because I was very brilliant with my marks and studies. So I never had that problem. And so I thought, okay, I'll get into medicine. And I really liked medicine because also my grandparents, on my side of the family, we are into businesses and engineering businesses and commerce and, you know, chartered accountants. So not really doctors in my family. I'm the first. But my grandfather, my mother's father, always wanted somebody in the family to be a doctor. And I think all that put together, I thought medicine is the way for me. Yeah. So at that time, I wasn't really getting into homeopathic medicine. You're 17, you score very good marks, and then you get into regular medicine. Mm. You know, that's how it works in India.
Right.
And what happened is, I think it was a twist of fate, or I don't know what to say. I was definitely getting medicine in another state or in another city. And in my city, I wasn't getting it in the college of my choice, in the university of my choice. So I chose homeopathy more as a second line instead of moving out of the city to another city to study medicine, regular medicine. And at 17, I didn't know much about homeopathy, except that as a child, my mom always supported and gave me pills. I mean, took me to a homeopath and gave me some pills, but I didn't know much about it anyways. So I came into homeopathy at 17, just wanting to be a good doctor. And then when I got into the field of homeopathic medicine, and in India, we also learn regular medicine while you're studying homeopathy. It's a 5.5-year intense university course. Yeah. Right. So when I went through the whole 5 years. I realized the difference between conventional and homeopathic medicine. And right from that moment on that I entered into my university, this was the way forward. And I always thought, this is where I'm going to be. This is what I'm going to do. And always touch lives with homeopathy. So this has been my beginning or the start of my journey.
You know, I'm just interested with what you've just said, because in the UK or in the West, it's medicine. It's not medicine and homeopathy. The two cannot be combined, as you very, very well know. So how did they manage to achieve that in India? Because the thought process for homeopathy is, as we know, you know, different to the conventional system of medicine. So how did they actually manage to academically combine that as two thought processes?
It's a beautiful combination that we have in India, where you take the complete allopathic curriculum that we have of anatomy, physiology, biochemistry, pathology, gynecology, everything, forensic medicine, which talks about understanding the human body and its functioning in its totality. But here, in place of pharmacy, which is an important subject right from first year to the last year, where in the regular medical college, they would talk about the allopathic pharmacy and the pharmacology. Here, we were introduced to Organon, homeopathic pharmacy, and homeopathic materia medica. So the medical treatment part, along with the learning of the so-called human body, was fused with the medical part of homeopathy. So right from year one, we were exposed to our homeopathic medicines, the philosophy. We made remedies in our pharmacy lab, trituration and potentization. We understand the basic principles.
Right.
And then, of course, we had a college hospital where we could see these remedies being implemented and treated, patients being treated with those medicines with good results. So we saw the application of what we learned in our classroom, in our OPDs. And of course, we were fortunate to have allopathic doctors and surgeons and physicians who were pro, who were open to forms of medicine. So they would give us opportunity to treat patients with homeopathy, but they would do the observation part and evaluate the patients. It was a whole perfect blend of wanting to help the patient, not the science, but what best can your science do?
So I think I would like to say one thing, that we are very, very privileged and fortunate in India that from a very young age, you can choose homeopathy. That's one. And second, you get the entire knowledge and practical understanding of the human body, whichever system you take, whether it's naturopathy, homeopathy, Chinese medicine, Ayurveda, or conventional medicine, the human body, the diseases, the autoimmune, the immune system is all the same. So this, we have been fortunate in India where you understand. And, you know, the modern conventional science has actually done phenomenal progress and research in terms of understanding the human body. Unfortunately, there is a big gap then in terms of treating this human body. And I'm not going to go into that. But the point is that there is a very detailed and comprehensive and exhaustive understanding of the body. And in our homeopathic colleges in India, this is the perfect blend where you have that whole understanding of medicine and then you have homeopathy.
Alien medicine, Atik Bhai, is not alien in India. So India always thought of holistic treatment. So modern medicine, natural medicine, homeopathy, Ayurveda, home remedies, everything were part of are still very much a part of our culture and our living. So when a certain physician practices a certain science, he doesn't immediately become so animus towards the other science. So there is an openness to understand that, okay, there is a possibility and we blend.
I agree with you. My parents are both, my parents were both from India, as my grandparents and my great-grandparents, of course. I talk to hundreds of people, literally a month, you know, around the world, homeopaths and students, and because of the podcast and other things that I'm working on. And India is that place at this moment, which is so homeopathic. And I mean that, I don't mean there's no medicine, but what I mean is that if you want to be trained, the best experience you can get is in India. And why? Because one, there's a large proportion of homeopathic doctors. Two, the fact that you've got homeopathic hospitals, you've got clinics pretty much on every street, or certainly in every, you know, suburban area. And the fact that there's so many patients to be able to help. And, you know, that's the best training, is when you're actually on a deep end, aren't you? And you've got 50 people waiting outside and they're all acutes, or maybe a mixture of acutes and some chronic, and and everybody wants you. And there's only so many hours in the day, and this is day in, day out. But it's phenomenal because it's the best experience. And truly, I mean, you tell me, it gets you to think on your feet, doesn't it? You've got to improve. Otherwise, where are you going to go?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's the power and the strength that our legal system, our medical system, and our constitution has given us to practice alternative medicine, to practice homeopathy, so that we are able to share the goodness with the larger audience.
In fact, I was interviewing a Nicole Frankie from Malaysia. She's a student in her third year of a homeopathic degree. And she recently said that as part of that podcast, she was saying that she actually went to India to a homeopathic hospital for the clinical practice.
Yes.
And, you know, that was just wonderful. And I thought, wow, how fortunate, because not everybody, of course, gets that opportunity. But I think it's so important, isn't it? So, so important.
It is. At the age of 11, I was detected with type 1 diabetes.
Right.
And that completely changed my life and changed my outlook. And as I grew from maybe 11 to 16, 17, 18, as I was growing, I somewhere realized, I mean, I guess I was blessed, that there is something that needs to be done. There is something maybe in me that is triggering this complaint. We were always told it's an autoimmune complaint. Nobody knows the cause. But somewhere I knew that somewhere maybe my nature, maybe my state, somewhere something is playing. I didn't know the word state per se, but something is playing a role. And I need to learn a science. I need to learn a medicine which can help me understand this and help. So after graduation, I went towards homeopathy for the simple reason that it was a science which opened up horizons to treat something beyond symptoms. And then there was no looking backwards. But yes, the sweet part of diabetes was the driving force that drove me closer to a mode of science which goes beyond treating symptoms.
It's that's very beautifully said, actually. And it's interesting, isn't it, that a large proportion of homeopaths do have that experience, either them or a loved one, or even parents or grandparents, you know, and they found that they were cured, literally, of their complaint, which means there was no even residual effect of any dis-ease as such. And that's what got them hooked onto homeopathy. Such is the magnitude and the efficacy, isn't it?
It is.
Absolutely.
Now, moving on to something very important and possibly life-changing for many listeners, is to do with something called the MAP system. And in homeopathy, as you're aware, we use remedies from the mineral, animal, and plant kingdoms. Now, both Dr. Bhavisha and Dr. Shachendra have worked on something called the MAP system in homeopathy, which is really taking a step forward. And there's a lot of interest in the system. So rather than me explain it as a novice, I will let you talk about what was that moment and how did you get to this MAP system, and actually where is it placed? Because I know it uses the periodic table, and that's where it becomes a bit easier, I think, to understand and use.
Before Bhavisha explains the whole philosophy, I would like to share a small example. It's a popular saying that two homeopaths never come to the same remedy, or two expert homeopaths will always have a completely different view of a particular patient, and two expert homeopaths have wonderful results. Somebody might prescribe Mercurius for a patient, somebody might think of a Leoninum for a patient, somebody might think of a Stramonium for that patient, but it works in their individual clinics. When it comes to one patient, maybe they all differ. So here is food for thought. could there be something? All are good. Maybe the fellow prescribing a lot of minerals is great. The one giving a lot of animals is good. Maybe the one giving a lot of plants as well is exceedingly good with what he's doing. Is there a connection between the remedies that you are prescribing? Somebody thinks of Merck, somebody thinks of maybe like Leonina, maybe somebody thinks of stramonium for a patient. Is there a link between all those remedies? Just because they differ on a remedy, are we missing out a larger picture? Because the fact is, there is a strong connection between all remedies of various kingdoms, and everything can be mapped on one particular remedy and then on a particular grid. And you know that they all speak to each other and there is a commonality. So they are not actually aliens, but they are actually complementing each other by these three experts giving three possibilities for the same person who is going to do well. And MAP helps that one homeopath give all these possibilities.
So do tell what that system is and actually how you came across it. What was that moment? Mm-hmm. What made you think that let me work on this? Or maybe there's a link here somewhere between mineral, animal, plant.
So I'm going to take you a little bit into history, yeah, to understand this. Because when you understand our journey, you'll be able to appreciate the whole depth of this system.
Hmm.
And you will be able to appreciate one very important thing, which is that this system is not a theoretical concept of our minds. It is a practical truth. It's a universal truth, which we just happen to discover in our clinic. Okay?
Mm.
So I'll tell you what. So we have been practicing and teaching homeopathy since 2000. Yeah? And my initial years, from 1999 almost, I've started teaching. And my initial years, I would say from 1999 to 2004 or 5, were, the energy that we had as homeopaths, specifically me, was I had to get it right. I had to do it very well. And everything had to be picture perfect. Every case had to be, very well organized. And every symptom had to match. The loop had to be well closed,
That's a sign of a true professional, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I will then tell you what is the sign of a wise professional.
Okay.
Soon. So at that time, I was a true professional, but I was very, very forceful in a way. Yeah. And I wasn't letting the universe or I wasn't letting nature help me or show me the path. Because everything had to be in my control. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, that was good. I agree with you. That was good. It's only now when I look back, I see how it was different than what we do today. Now we go to the next thing. So by 2005, 2006. So we had been practicing from 1997 and up to 2005. I'm talking about all these years. Yeah, I don't know. About 7 years.
Yeah. Mm.
7 years and very eight good,
years.
8 years almost, yeah, not six and 8 years, good practice, great results, but everything was compartmentalized. A mineral had to be a mineral for a lifetime, a plant patient had to be a plant patient for a lifetime, an animal case, remedies never changed, one compartment didn't go into the other, each one was watertight or airtight, okay?
Right.
Come 2005, 2006, we started to have one of the good things that has been a part of our practice is we always want to learn from our patients and we want to learn from what is happening in the clinic. Yeah. Because you learn a lot from your patients. Now, so in 2006 or seven, five, six, yeah, that time, we started to have some imponderable cases in the clinic. Yeah. Remedies like soul, electricitas, magnetis polis arcticus, australis.
And a lot of
noble gases. So by then I had written my first book. I think two books we had written, Nozodes Imponderables and the Minerals out of our 8 books. Now with the imponderable cases, we started to look more into reading about energy and imponderable remedies. And that pushed me into this whole realm of quantum energy and the fact that everything is dynamic and energetic and not so rigid as it was in my mind.
Everything resonates at a frequency.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then in 2007 to 2008, there was a huge, I would say, change in the clinic. I think it was a sign from the universe. What happened is some old cases, which we had treated in 1992. We were students then. So we had cases and patients we were treating from 1994, 95. So 10 years already. Some cases who had done very well earlier now came back in 2007, I'm talking about. So 10 years later, some 6 years later. And this time they needed a new remedy. And that was shocking for me, that this is a patient who have earlier given a good mineral remedy. The patient has done well. What is changing in this patient now? Why does he need a new remedy? You understand? And what was interesting at that time, again, as I said, we learn from what's happening in the clinic. So on one side, so I'll give you this example where the whole story has started. It was a woman who did very well on the remedy Argentum Phosphoricum. Yeah, she had polycystic ovarian disease. She had, nasal polyps, upper respiratory tract infections, everything cleared on Argentum. But then when she came in 2007 or 8, she was pregnant for the second time. And this time in her pregnancy, she had symptoms. She had severe antenatal depression. And I couldn't help her with Argentum. She was speaking the same language and yet also a different language. And I thought, yeah, that's because she's in a pregnancy. It's the baby speaking. And that can happen very often, that in a pregnancy, the mother takes the state of the baby or the fetus. So at that time, from the way she was speaking and narrating her case, it looked like a very animal remedy. I tried Argentum, did not work. And I moved to Lacequinum.
Right.
And I had the most brilliant result. Yeah. And not only that, in the pregnancy, she took the remedy very sparingly. She was fine. Post-pregnancy, so then I was not in touch with her. Post-pregnancy, she developed a depression again, postpartum. And I said, I repeated Argentum again. Yeah. Thinking, see, Lacequinum is out of the picture. She's back to her own mineral cells. You know what? Argentum Phosphoricum didn't help. And Lacequinum, you know, one importance he helped. So higher than what I'd given in pregnancy. In pregnancy, I'd given it in a 200. Now, in that, after that 1M, she came back to me. She had lost all that excessive weight in just 2 to 3 months. She was glowing. The postpartum depression was gone. Not only that, she came and she begged me. She said, why didn't you give me this remedy 8 years ago? Why didn't you give this remedy more frequently in pregnancy? I am such a changed woman. Of course, your earlier remedies helped me, but this one has taken me way, way further, you know? And I thought, how could a mineral change into an animal? You see what I mean? Because my thought process was a mineral kingdom is, you know, very
stable.
A mineral kingdom patient does not move to an animal kingdom remedy. Yeah. This first put me into a syphilitic state of depression. Was I wrong with the earlier mineral? You know, so I actually went into a depression. And that more in those days, I remember Sachindra and I had several cases like this, which earlier had done well on a plant remedy and now needed an animal. Now the case I remember very clearly was of an aurum patient. And we had to give him the remedy from the tiger's blood, Panthera tigris. Okay.
Right.
So from, I always feel that from this kind of a low, depressed, or you could even say syphilitic state, actually comes out Sora. You know, the miasms are also cyclical. The periodic table is also cyclical. It's not linear from 1 to 7. It's a loop of 1 going back to 7. I mean, sorry, 1 to 7 and 7 coming back to 1. Yeah.
Right.
Sora going to syphilis, syphilis going back to Sora. That's explained in my book, in our book, Nozodes and Imponderables.
Right.
Okay. Now, coming back to what I realized. So, Sachitra and I, what we did at that time is we now started looking at all these cases and trying to see what was similar in the earlier 10 years ago case and the case now, and what is different. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was the Eureka moment, where we saw there was a common thread between the argentum and the equine. Common thread between the aurum and the panthera tigris. There was a common thread between the magnesium muriaticum and lacaninum. A common thread between hyoscyamus and lachesis, the plant and the, of course, the symptoms are similar, but also the level. And this is what is, I can say, now let's connect it to the periodic table first and then talk about levels. Hmm. Levels are an important part of the MAP system. So what was common between argentum and lac equinum? Let me make it simple for you. That was my first discovery moment. Argentum belongs to the fifth row of the periodic table for everyone who knows chemistry, physics, and also homeopathy and the element theory, right? Or our minerals in the periodic table, right? The horse is also a performer. Yeah?
Mm.
The horse is a pet, but he's also a performer for his master. Okay? Similarly, when you look at aurum, it's in the sixth row of the periodic table. Okay, it's the noble metal. That's what they are called in chemistry. Yeah, very strong, very heavy, very powerful. Yeah, you always associate gold with power. It's the king.
Mm, absolutely.
Right, and we know aurum is the king in our materia medica. But so is the tiger. He is the king of the jungle. He's the top of the predator and he's at the top of the pyramid, top of the food chain. Yeah. So what's common between the Panthera tigris and the aurum is that sixth row of the periodic table. What's common between now lacaninum is more like a magnesium. If you look at symptoms are also similar between lacaninum and magnesium. Now these come in the third row of the periodic table, way higher in the periodic table, right? And lacaninum, the dog, is more like, and that's what the personality of lacaninum is, somebody who wants to be loved by the family, by the group, who wants to be included, okay? And that's what magnesium has, a tremendous sense of loneliness, wants to be included, does not want to be left alone, which is the theme of the third row of the periodic table.
Mm.
And this is, so the first connection we had between the animals and the minerals, and that at that time I thought very definitely the plants will also have these connections. So all these three kingdoms can actually be put on the grid of the periodic table. This was that aha moment in 2008.
Yeah.
Because that's our personality. And humans also fall in these seven rows of the periodic table. So when we started, it was more animals and plants on the periodic table. So you see, this map has evolved over the years.
Hmm.
And our map evolves only with clinical confirmation and clinical practice.
Right.
Yeah. So it evolved from being animals and plants on the periodic table to now us understanding that the periodic table is actually a universal grid of seven levels and 18 columns. You can put plants on it, you can put imponderables on it, you can put minerals on it, you can put nozodes on it, you can put anything. And this grid, for example, you have 7 days of a week.
Hmm.
You have the cycle of 7 years in Chinese medicine. You have the seven chakras. Now, this is also the time my father was doing something. My father's an engineer by profession, always had a business. And then this was the time he was also retiring and moving into spirituality. Right. And he started meditation. So he is now basically into yoga, meditation, He's also written a book which we have published. Okay. So I started helping him because he wanted to know the endocrinal glands connected to the seven chakras. And I said, wow, you have the seven here too. So you see how things started connecting for me. Mm. And then Suchindra and I worked on it and we realized that this seven of the periodic table is the most beautiful gift to mankind. It's not just seven rows, it's seven levels of development that a human goes through from birth to death. Yeah, that animal, plant, everyone can go through, and everybody can therefore be placed on this table, and we can use these connections to heal ourselves and our patients.
We've got the lanthanides, and I know you've done some great work with Dr. Jan Scholten, of course. And where's the link there? Which remedies are linked? Because the lanthanides are very unknown as such, but yeah, they're very, very powerful indeed, aren't they? And how are you linking that with the animal and plant kingdoms?
Yes.
Right. So before we go to the lanthanides, I do want to also say, I wanted to complete that loop of from a true professional to a wise professional.
Okay.
Yeah. So what happened when we understood these connections, you know, what I realized is I don't need to be so rigid and I don't need to be so much in control and so uptight. Yeah. If we get the level right, which is very easy to get, yeah, if we just let loose and sit in the clinic and listen to the story of our patient, listen to what is it that's their driving force in life, where are they stuck in their lives? All of these give you the level of development, where the patient is. Is he in the third level, fourth level, sixth level, wherever? Okay. And once you know that, you have the option of different kingdoms and each of them can help that patient. You see what I mean? Mm. And we have used sometimes when we don't have an animal that we want to give, we have used a mineral counterpart till we prescribe the animal or till the animal arrives, the remedy. Yeah. Or we feel that this is not the moment to give the animal remedy and we've given the plant. You understand? So suddenly I would say that from everything being such a job, it just became so easy, you know, and so free flowing. And that is, and then our case taking actually reduced the timing, the energy that we put in, because it was now very free flowing and easy. So we moved to being wiser and more relaxed.
And more efficient.
And of course.
Absolutely. More precise, more efficient. Now we come back to your very important question of lanthanides.
Yeah.
Now, you see, though the lanthanides, now look at it from the chemistry point of view, though they are put in another, not in another section, but they are removed from the periodic table and put placed below, that's only because of lack of space. You cannot put all those 14 elements in there, because otherwise the table is too extensive and difficult to work upon or study. So they are all, and the reason that they all 13 are put down below is because they are all so similar to each other. And actually from the chemistry point of view, they actually fit into that third column on the sixth row. So in a way, they are still in level six. Yet they have their own peculiar qualities. Similarly, the actinides are all level seven, but they have their peculiar qualities. Now, what we do in our MAP system is we have given them a slightly different level. That is what we call a 6L. So in the MAP system, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6L and then 6. And 7L and 7. So the 7s are all together. That's the actinide. Sorry, not the 7L, but the 7. The actinides still remain together. But the lanthanides, so Sachandra and I have introduced a little extra level, which is called the 6L. It's kind of, I would say, in a way, a weaker level than six when it comes to when it comes to expressing or projecting power. It is not a weaker level when it comes to understanding power. You understand? So the lanthanide individuals, just as we know from the provings, Suchendra and I have also done a proving of gadolinium.
Right.
And a very extensive proving. And I'm going to come to that in a minute. But so what we saw in the proving, what also Jan says in his theory of the lanthanides and what we believe about the lanthanides, is that there is still the level six themes of power and autonomy, but they are more looking inwards, whereas the other level six elements like aurum, platina, mercury, thallium, plumbum, etc., are projecting the power outwards. That's the difference. Yeah. So that's why I said weaker would be a wrong word, but just as a
expression,
just to explain you that the power is more milder, softer, inwards, researching, while in the others, the power is more that like a leader or looking outwards or projecting.
Question for you then, within that, which you've so eloquently said, if looking inwards, does that mean that that individual does perhaps dream or think about being able to be external facing, but he can't, but he still is very powerful inside with what he's able to do?
No, no. That would be more a column of level six in the initial parts, because he still desires to project the power out. What I'm saying is somebody who does not desire to project the power out, but is more spiritual, looking inwards, how can I improve myself?
He's
how
aware.
Can I create a universe that's more autonomous? How can I help other people to seek their own power? So they are leaders who are more insidious and more, I would say...
Subtle power.
Subtle.
I had a patient maybe 6 hours back in the clinic. And that patient is into fragrances and... Yeah, fragrances. He says, I said, how big? What are your ambitions with your business? He says, I want my fragrances to be everywhere. So any supermarket that I walk into any part of the world, I go to Chile, I go to Peru, I pick up a vial and I smell. I said, I know the product that is giving this fragrance is my product. He said, oh, he said, any part of the world I walk in, I know that behind this product is my fragrance, which is doing the job. I'm not interested in having my label, but I know that my fragrances is in every part of the world, in Russia, in Moscow, in anywhere I go. It is my product which is talking. So it is power. It's a very subtle power. Mm. It is behind the scene power. It's not an obvious power.
That's the lanthanide quality.
That's the lanthanide quality.
But now, when we did the proving of the lanthanides, we, of specifically gadolinium, we all had this spiritual connections and a feeling that we understood something, or we had the power to transform ourselves, to feel empowered within, and also to help others without really being noticed. Yeah. And the other thing we had is we had dreams of birds. And I thought, what do the birds have to do with gadolinium? Okay. Then when we started putting the animals and the birds on the different rows of the periodic table, we have a book called Mammals, which is completely mammals on various levels. Then we have a book on birds, which is birds in different, 9,000 birds. We've put them into different levels and columns so that it's easy for the prescriber to use all these birds.
Right.
Okay. And of course, we have the invertebrates also. But coming back to when we started working on all of this, we realized that the raptors, that is your eagles, your falcons, your hawks and owls. Owls are not raptors zoologically, yeah, but we have put them in the same group because they are also birds of prey. But so all these raptors who are at the top of the food chain, when you look at the birds, yeah, like the big cats, but they are so light. And they're not showing off their power like the big cats or the wolves. You see the difference? And these connect to the lanthanides. Or if you look at the plants, then you have the ruby alis and the lamialis.
The China.
Huh?
What is China? China, the remedy belongs to the lamialis. And they are the lanthanide. And what does China do? China gave birth to homeopathy, which brings alive the inner power of every substance to heal. You see, the inner strength is what is the lanthanide strength.
So it's very interesting when we were doing this thing, and then I said, you know, these ones will go with the lanthanide in the plants. Yeah. And I thought, wow. And then there's China then, which gave birth to homeopathy. The most beautiful lanthanide science.
You know, as you was explaining that, Shatendra sent me a very nice picture of you sitting on the floor with lots of papers, and you're holding one paper in your hand, and it looks like, oh my God, you know, I can just imagine how much work has actually gone into this when you're explaining this, and it's phenomenal. But it also paints this picture, or it shows the picture, that there's so many, homeopathy is so untapped, the possibilities potentially that are out there. I mean, it's constantly evolving. It's never going to go anywhere. It is truly medicine that has mind, body, and soul, literally, isn't it? It's defined as mind, body, and soul. How incredibly powerful and comprehensive. Isn't it? It just sends shivers down my spine. You know, I'm just thinking of everything that you've said, and you've so beautifully explained just a small part. I know how, you know, how large the work that you've done is, but it's so beautiful the way you've mentioned the fact that birds are light, and so that, you know, links to the lanthanides, and
right,
and it clicks. You understand. You think, oh yeah, of course. You know, that now makes sense. But unless you've done the research, of course, you could say anything, right? But now it does make sense. And you can say, oh, hang on a minute. This patient maybe is a barium patient or whatever it is. But hang on, there might be a bird which may be more suitable. Mm. And then you've got the map system, literally, haven't you? There, yes, in your head and on paper. Amazing.
And it's so simple, isn't it?
It is the way you're explaining it. Yes, it was. Now it is.
And what is important is that the teaching that I and Bhavisha do, yeah, across the world for so many years, it is something that we empower every practitioner to understand the simplicity of the system so that he can reproduce that successfully in his practice. And often in our conferences and in our seminars especially, our friends and colleagues and we have discussions. It's not always that we are way superior and, you know, people don't know anything. Absolutely not. The way the system has evolved, the map has grown, that we have logical discussions and differentiations whereby we know that the map system or a system which empowers people is alive in different parts of the world and they can do it well. And that's very vital for the science to grow and for people to be helped.
I think, as I said to you, when we made contact, you know, over WhatsApp, and I said I could see the, you know, there's a resonance that you have which is very genuine and pure, and it's purity for service to humanity. We go back to that same thing, and we started this whole podcast with that conversation that if you're so committed to homeopathy, then you do get blessed, you know,
yeah.
God opens up different doors of success and you can do incredible things, right?
Absolutely. I think it was COVID time. And in January 2020, we got a first mail from a friend of ours who is a doctor. And he too is a doctor. His friend worked as an intensivist. And he got severe respiratory infection with COVID. And he gave some symptoms. And he said, is there some remedy that you can recommend? And we gave him antimony ours. And that patient did exceedingly well in January 2020. That was the first connection with COVID where we hadn't seen. We just spoke an email, a few lines, and we asked him, what are the symptoms? We said, give him antimony hours. Post that, when COVID struck India, we said, this is the time for us to go out and help people. when everybody was staying home lockdown, we wrote a letter to our Prime Minister on the 26th of January, sorry, of March, on Twitter. We said these are the remedies, because from the symptoms and that we gathered from friends and colleagues all across the world, it looked like arsenical will be a good remedy, bryonia will be a good remedy. We said, please start using and give it to people, because people will be helped. Next, we went around the whole city of Bombay, and there were people were quarantined and they were locked up, and there were policemen standing to stop people coming out. Mm. And we discussed with Bhavisha. I said, these policemen have no clue what infection they are dealing with. They are just standing there, poor people, and they are completely exposed to this virus. We need to help them. And we went about giving about 6,000 to 8,000 free remedies from our clinic to all police forces, because we wanted people to be helped.
And what is interesting, just because Sachindra brought up this whole thing, this talks about blessing. Yeah. So the first thing, of course, with COVID is because we were so sure about our homeopathy and the last few and all the last years of practice, we knew we would be able to help. We knew we can find a genus epidemicus, if not one, at least a couple. Yeah, and I do believe that there can't be one, depending on different regions and different, at least there's a cluster
Some
of
group.
Genus epidemicus. There are groups. Now, it was difficult for our assistants to also come in because of quarantines and this and that and, you know, lockdowns, quarantine, but also lockdown. We managed to do it just by ourselves. The assistants would actually do things online. Sachindra and I were on the ground. And because as doctors, we could travel, we could do everything. We put in our level best, sent out remedies to about 50,000 people, treated so many COVID cases on phone and on Zoom calls.
And majorly free of cost.
Yeah. Most of this, while other doctors and hospitals were making money.
Times of crisis is not to make money. It is to help the community. Money follows.
And then what happened is, during this time, you know, we, Sachindra and I, had started off, or rather we were building a trust, a homeopathic trust. Our trust is called the Ekayan Trust and Ekayan Homeopathic Trust and Foundation. Yeah. Now we were building this trust, and it needs a lot of paperwork and a lot of legalities and formalities. And we were kind of stuck, you know, with this, because how much do you do all this bureaucratic work when you're, you know, also practicing and teaching, blah, blah, blah. Cutting the story short, out of the blue, so while we were trying to help, there are some patients of ours who are in the police force, in the income tax department.
Yes.
And they all came to help us in the way that they started donating to us. You know, they said, if you are doing this work and you are putting out free medication, we would like to help you. And I don't know how, but in these last 2 years, we also managed to get our trust formally established. You know, while COVID is going on, the toughest time, we actually managed to establish our trust, get its ATG certificate, which means tax refunds. Yeah. Tax
rebates.
Rebate, sorry, not refund. And some of the best people of the city started donating to our trust and everything. And it all went afloat so beautifully, you know. And so I think it is a blessing that, you know, you do something and the universe always blesses.
I believe that this is the time, COVID was the time for homeopathy to shine, because it had the capacity to help. It had symptoms that could match and it could really help so many lives. So it's kind of a big boon, unfortunately, one would say that, for homeopathy to blossom.
That I went to ask you, and that you, of course, probably have to share as well. And it has been an absolute honor and privilege to have you on the first part of this special podcast. Thank you so very much.
Thank you
so much.
And we've also thoroughly enjoyed this conversation and this, discussion and interaction, this exchange. Yeah?
I do hope you've enjoyed this week's episode of the Homeopathy Health Show. Please do support the show by clicking follow on my socials. Remember, the more exposure the podcast receives, the better for homeopathy around the world. You can find me on Instagram by searching for @like_treatslike, and on both Facebook and TikTok by searching for @like_treatslike. So let's promote the voice of homeopathy on radio and podcast around the world together. Don't forget to visit me online at www.liketreatslike.co.uk and click on the radio and podcast tab. Here you'll be able to see all the guests that have joined me on the show so far. And of course, you can stream on demand the latest episode to your mobile, tablet or PC. Until next time, stay safe and take care.